All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of Genesis once again. The book of Genesis and chapter 42 is where we're going to begin. We're actually going to do chapter 42, chapter 43, chapter 44. We'll probably be done about 3 o'clock this afternoon. No, I'm just kidding. But looking at kind of a long passage today, you'll remember that Joseph, as a young man, had received a series of dreams. And in those dreams, he saw that he was going to be elevated to a position of power, to a position of authority, to the point that even his own family would come and bow down before him. You remember in our study together, we saw how that all of that began to come to pass. We saw in our study last time how that his brothers, the very ones who had sold him into slavery, they had despised and hated him, and yet in spite of all they did to try to stop what God had promised, all of that is coming to pass. It's all coming to pass. And so we saw how that Joseph's brothers then, during a time of famine, they came down to Egypt to buy food for their father and also for their families who were there in the land of Canaan. When they came down into Egypt, you remember there were a couple of things that we saw together. First of all, we saw the encounter that they had. The encounter, we saw how that when they came into the presence of Joseph, he immediately recognized them. He knew exactly who they were, but they did not recognize him. After all, they had never seen him dressed up like an Egyptian ruler before, right? And so he recognized them. They did not recognize who he was. And Joseph, you remember, not only had the dress of an Egyptian ruler, but you remember we saw how that he spoke to his brothers in a rough kind of way. He wasn't kind and gentle with them, and he also spoke to them through an interpreter, and so they did not have a clue who he was. Had no idea that he was their brother. That was the encounter. And then we also saw, number two, the interrogation. We saw how that Joseph, you remember, actually, he replayed their actions. In other words, he replayed to them what they had done to him. And the point of that was simply he wanted them to see their own wickedness. He wanted them to see that for themselves. And so you remember there were four things. First of all, he accused them. Just as they had accused him of being a spy, now he accuses them of being spies. And in order to prove they were not spies, you remember Joseph told them that they would have to bring Benjamin, their younger brother. They're going to have, you're not a spy? Well, here, okay, you're going to have to prove it. And so you have to bring your younger brother Benjamin down here the next time that you come. And then he imprisoned all of them for 3 days. He imprisoned them for 3 days, and after he had told them to choose which of them would return home and then return with Benjamin, he said, "You guys think about it. One of you will go back, the rest of you are going to stay here in the prison." And so we saw how that he imprisoned them, just as they had imprisoned him. And then we saw how that he changed the rules, you remember. They had changed the rules. First they said, "We're going to kill you," and then they said, "We're going to sell you." And so they had changed the rules. Now Joseph is going to do that for them, in that he released all of them except for Simeon. Instead of imprisoning them all and releasing one, he imprisoned one and released the rest. And so he changed the rules. And then we saw how that he not only gave them the corn they needed, but how that he graciously restored to them the money that they had brought in order to purchase food for their families. And so we saw the interrogation. And then you remember we saw, number three, the return. The return. In other words, we saw how that when they arrived back at their homeland of Canaan and they returned to their families, and we saw how that when they opened their bags, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 42, verse 35, that both they and their father saw the bundles of money and they were afraid. See, not only did Joseph give them the corn that they needed, but he has returned all of the money that they brought. He's put all of it back in their bags and sent them on their way. And when they saw it, they're filled with fear. They're filled with fear. Now that's where we had to stop last time. But I want us to continue now, number four. I want us to notice number four, the determination. The determination. And that is the determination of Jacob, the father. I want us to notice his determination, and we see his determination in four things. First of all, there was his grief. His grief. In Genesis chapter 42, verse 36, it says, "And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children, Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." All these things are against me. By the way, there's an important point that we need to notice here. All of these things that happened, all of these things that had happened with Joseph, and all of these things that were now happening with Simeon, they were all part of God's plan to save the lives of His people and to move them to a temporary place where they might be prospered and blessed. It was not that God was against them. It was God was for them. God was for them. However, Jacob could not understand why God would allow these hurtful things to come into his life. And so because of those hurtful things, because he couldn't see any good in it at all, he just assumed, God's against me. God's against me. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like, yeah, I'm his child, but boy, he really must hate me today. Man, I've got all these problems, got all these difficult. Why is God allowed? He must be against me. And so many times we charge God foolishly that way. If anybody ever had a right to say God is against me, it would be Job, right? But you know what the Bible says about Job? In spite of all the difficulties that he faced, he never charged God foolishly. He never sinned with his mouth by accusing God of being anything less than a perfect, holy, righteous God who does all things well. In other words, just like us, so many times, Jacob has fallen into that trap of self-pity. He's fallen into that trap of feeling sorry for himself because of all these difficulties. Well, God's just against me. You know, the trap of self-pity. His grief. Not only do we see his grief, I want you to notice another thing. It's his assurance. His assurance in verse number 37 of chapter 42, we find that Reuben then spake unto his father, saying, "Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again." Now, here Reuben speaks up and he says, "Dad, here's the deal. I'm going to let Benjamin go and I will be a surety for him. And if we do not return safely, then you can kill two of my sons." Now, we know Reuben had four sons. That's found in Genesis chapter 46, verse number 9. Reuben had four sons, and his willingness to allow two of the sons to be sacrificed if he failed to return with Benjamin was to show simply to his father that he was as just as concerned about Benjamin as he was his own two sons. He's just as concerned about Benjamin as he is his own flesh and blood. And he's putting this on the table in order to show his father that he would be just as careful in defending and protecting Benjamin's life. Because he understood that in reality he would be protecting, defending the lives of two of his own sons. And so we see the assurance that is given. In other words, the purpose of this oath was to assure to his father that he would take the greatest care of Benjamin. But in spite of that oath, we see another thing about Jacob, and that is this, his choice. His choice. In verse number 38 of chapter 42, here's what Jacob said. He said, "My son shall not go down with you." It's not going to happen. He's the only son that I have left from my wife, Rachel. He's not going to go down. I will not allow it. I forbid it. And so the choice that he made. And then, of course, we see his reason. In verse number 38, "For his brother is dead and he is left alone." In other words, he's the only surviving son of my wife Rachel. He's the only one. His brother's dead. He's the only one that's still left. And if mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. In other words, if I allow Benjamin to go and something happens to him, it will literally kill me. I'm not going to allow that to happen. Cannot allow that to happen. And so we see, first of all, number four, we see the determination that is there, a determination that he is not going to allow his son to go down. But then we see number five, then there's the command. There's the command that is given. And this command is found very clearly stated for us in Genesis chapter 43, the next chapter then, in verse number 1. In Genesis 43, 1, it says, "The famine was sore in the land. It came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again." Here's the command. Go again. Go again. Buy us a little food. And so the food they have first brought, now that's all gone. They've consumed all of that in their families, and there's no food left. They're getting down to the end of the barrel, so to speak. And so now Jacob calls his boys in and says, "Okay, guys, we're running out of food here. You need to go back to Egypt. Need to go back and you need to buy us a little bit of food." And there's several things that we find then that takes place. First of all, there's the protest. There's the protest. And the protest is found in Genesis chapter 43, verse 3 to verse number 5. And the protest was simply this: "We cannot go back unless Benjamin goes with us. We cannot go back. It's a wasted trip unless Benjamin goes with us." And so there was the protest. And then we find, letter B, there was the complaint. There was the complaint. And the complaint was simply, Jacob then says, "Why did you even tell that Egyptian ruler that you had another brother? Why did you even let him know that there was a Benjamin? Why did you mention that at all?" You find that in Genesis 43, verse 6. And then there was letter C, the explanation. There was the explanation in verse number 7, Genesis chapter 43. These boys then began to explain to their father. They began to tell Jacob how that the governor, when they were talking to him, that governor asked some very pointed questions. It wasn't we just went in and started blabbing and told him our whole life story. No, he began to ask some very pointed questions. For example, he asked us, "Is your father still alive?" They asked him that. He asked them that. And not only that, he asked, and by the way, "Do you have a younger brother?" Very pointed questions. Very pointed questions that he asked. And then they explained to their dad, not only did he ask these pointed questions, but how could we even know? How could we know that he would then command us to bring Benjamin to Egypt? There's no way we could know that. And so the explanation. And then we see another thing here in letter D, the surrender. The surrender. In Genesis 43, verse 11, we see the surrender. First of all, under this surrender, there is Jacob's assurance. Jacob's assurance. This is found in chapter 43, verse 8 to verse number 10. Just as Reuben had made a promise concerning Benjamin's safe return, now Judah is going to speak up. Now Judah is going to declare that he will be a surety for his brother. He will be a surety for him. In other words, Judah says to his dad, "Dad, we will bring him back, and if we fail, then I will personally bear the blame of that forever." The assurance that he received. But not only do we see Jacob's assurance, we also see Jacob's preparation. Jacob's preparation. And in the preparation, there's a couple of things that we might mention. First of all, there was a gift for the governor. There was a gift for the governor. By the way, that's good advice. Okay? That's good advice. In fact, here's how the wise man said it. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16, it says, a man's gift maketh room for him. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. That's what a gift can do. And so Jacob begins to prepare this gift of all the good things that the land of Canaan had to offer. And by the way, remember, the land of Canaan was a land of milk and honey. And so he begins to prepare this gift and put it together in order that it might be sent down to the governor. But not only was the gift prepared for the governor, there was also prepared for the governor Jacob's payment. Jacob's payment in chapter 43, verse number 12, it says that take double money. Take double money in your hand. And the money that was brought again, peradventure, it was an oversight. In other words, when you came back and we opened up the sacks and we found the money inside, maybe that was a mistake. Maybe it was an oversight. Maybe they didn't mean to return the money. It was an accident that we got the money back. So here's what I want you to do. Take the money from last time and then take more money for this time so that you might be able to pay. And so he prepared a payment. Prepared a payment. Jacob's assurance, Jacob's preparation. And then I want you to notice number three, we see Jacob's prayer. Jacob's prayer. Notice it in Genesis chapter 43, verse 13 and verse number 14. He says, take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man. Now here's the prayer. And God Almighty, give you mercy before him, that he may send away your other brother, that's Simeon. Not only send him away, but send away Benjamin. And if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. In other words, may God's will be done. May God's will be done. Then I want you to notice number six, the examination. Remember last time we saw Joseph during their first visit, how he begins to examine his brothers, and we talked about that in our review earlier. But now we're going to see the examination is going to continue. This examination is going to continue for his brothers. In that first examination, the purpose of it was to see if the attitude of his brothers concerning their evil deeds had been changed. Has their attitude been changed? And so Joseph had mirrored the evil that they had done. And even though Joseph had heard their confession back in chapter 42, verse 41, he knew that it's easy to confess all kinds of things when the pressure is on. Hey, have you noticed how that when you're really going through a hard time in your life, boy, you can find all kind of sin that needs confessing, right? Yeah, that's true. You're right, it's true. It's always that way. Boy, we find all kind of stuff. Oh, God, forgive me for this. And the pressure is on, right? But when the pressure is off, hey, God, I'm good. How you doing? I'm fine. Yeah. And because of that, Joseph understood there needed to be a second examination. There needs to be a second examination to discover the extent of their repentance. Was it just because they were under pressure, or is it because there's truly been a change in their heart? So with that in mind, they return to Egypt. They come back with the money, they come back with the gifts that we mentioned a moment ago, and when they come back into the land of Egypt, they again meet with Joseph, and Joseph immediately saw that Benjamin is now with them. Benjamin is now with them. And so in Genesis chapter 43, verse 16, Joseph then extends to them an invitation to come and dine with him, to eat in his royal palace. Because he had spoken to them so roughly before, now this show of kindness is viewed with, as you can imagine, it's viewed with suspicion. Wonder what he's up to. I tell you what, you know, he was pretty rough on us before. Now he's being real nice. Okay, what's the catch, right? You know how we think, right? What's the catch? What's he up to now? What's behind all of this? And it must be because we had that money returned to us, and so immediately they go to Joseph's steward and they inform him, hey, you know, we got our money back, but we're returning it. You can read about that, Genesis 43 verse 17 down to verse 24. But Joseph's steward says, no, don't worry about it. I have your money. The money that was returned in your sack, I don't know about that, but I know that I have the money. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but I'll just give you my personal opinion. It's found in the book of Crocker. I'll just give you my personal opinion. I believe their account was paid by Joseph. I think he paid the bill for them. I think he paid for it. But at any rate, as a result of this, now they have returned. They brought Benjamin. As a result of that, Simeon is released. The steward then brings in and gives them water so that they can wash their feet. He then goes out and he fed their animals for them. And so the band of brothers, Genesis 43 verse 25, are now in Joseph's house and they are preparing themselves to give to the governor the present which they have brought from the land of Canaan. And that brings us to the second part of this examination. Notice it, letter A. There was a preparation. There was a preparation in Genesis chapter 43, verse 22 to 36. And we find first of all the question that is asked. And the question was simply this. How's your dad's health? Last time you told me you have a father back in Canaan. Is he healthy? How is his health? There was the question. Then there was the restraint, number two. When Joseph actually sees Benjamin now sitting in his house, he's overcome with some emotion. And so he has to restrain himself because he doesn't want to give himself away too quickly. He doesn't want to give himself away too quickly, and so there's a restraint. And then we see, number three, there was the separation. The separation. In Genesis chapter 43, verse 31 to verse 32, an interesting little bit of history is recorded for us. Notice it. It says that Joseph said to his servant, he said, set on bread. And they set on for him, notice it, they set on for him by himself. And for them, that is his brothers, by themselves. And for the Egyptians which did eat with him, by themselves. In other words, there's three groups here. There's three groups. There's the ruler, and there's the locals, and there's the foreigners. Okay? There's the foreigners. And the reason is simply because the Bible explains to us then that the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto them. In other words, the ugly head of prejudice. That's what it is. The ugly head of prejudice. But that was the rule of their land. That was the rule of their land. And so there was the preparation that was made. But then I want you to notice there was also an observation that was made. There was an observation. Notice it in chapter 43, verse number 33. It says that they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. Do you understand what just happened here? Here are these 12 brothers now, or 11 brothers. They're standing there together. They're standing in this governor's house. And now the governor begins to seat them. And he seats them in perfect order according to their birth. He starts with the oldest and goes to the second and to the third and to all the way down to finally he comes to Benjamin last. And they are seated in a perfect order according to their birth. No wonder these men marveled. Shock. Shock that this governor, this Egyptian ruler would know them that well and be able to seat them like that. But that's not the end of it. Now notice in chapter 43 and verse number 34, he also took and sent messes unto them. Now that mess is not a mess, it's a plate of food. And so he sent messes unto them. From before him, that is, Joseph himself prepares their plates, and he put Benjamin's mess five times so much as any of theirs. In other words, they all got a portion, but Benjamin got five times as much. Five times as much. And I believe that as all of that transpired, Joseph was very carefully watching. He's watching their reaction. How are his brothers going to respond to this? You see, Joseph remembered how that when his father had honored him above his brothers with that coat of many colors, remember that? When his father had honored him by promoting him and making him to be the leader in the family and overseeing things, his brothers had envied him, they had hated him, they had sold him into slavery because he had been favored over them. Now Benjamin is being favored over them, and Joseph is watching to see how they're going to respond. How are they going to respond to this? If my brothers have truly changed, surely Joseph was thinking this. Have my brothers truly changed as they indicated in the first test? And if they have, this will be proof positive that there has truly been a change in their heart and that these men are truly true men, as they claim. This will be the proof. And so he watched to see their reaction. And the Bible says in chapter 43 and verse number 34 that they drank and they were merry with him. They were merry with him. But you know, it's easy to wear a happy face for a little while, isn't it? How many times do we get up on Sunday morning and on the way to church we have a big fight with our wife, and then we come in the door of the church and we say, "Hi, brother, how are you? Oh, everything's fine, you know." And we put on the happy face for a while, and it lasts for about an hour, and then we go out the door, and on the way home we have another fight with our wife. I know those of you who are not married, you don't have that problem, right? It's easy to put on a happy face for a little while, and Joseph understood that. He realized very well that his brothers may have been playing the hypocrite. They may have been putting on a show by acting happy. And so therefore we find that there was an appraisal. There was an appraisal. Notice letter C. The appraisal was simply what we find now in Genesis chapter 44. We find in this appraisal is Joseph wants to see if his brothers are going to respond to the favor that has been shown to him by trying to get rid of him. Now we find a couple of things. First of all, there was the plot. There was the plot. Joseph told his steward in verse 1 and verse number 2, he said, I want you to fill my brother's sacks with food. I want you to return their money just like you did before, but I want you to do something more. I want you to take my silver cup and I want you to put it in the bag that belongs to Benjamin. I want you to take my silver cup and I want you to put it in the bag. And so the Bible says in chapter 44 and verse number 3 that as soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. Little did they know what was in their bags. Little did they know. There was the plot. Number 2, there was the chase. There was the chase. In chapter 44 and verse number 4, the Bible says that when they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, "Up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good?" And so Joseph's steward gave chase. And in verse number 6, the Bible says he overtook them. He caught up with them. He caught up with them. And then we find number 3, there's the interrogation in chapter 44, verse 7 to verse number 12. Of course, the brothers are shocked when they hear the accusation that one of them has stolen the governor's silver cup. And so I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, there's their review. They review for the steward how that they had returned the money that had been given back to them in the previous time. They brought all of that back, and so they have been honest. They've been perfectly honest in all of their dealings. And so therefore, here's what they said in verse number 9. With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. In other words, if this is true, and if one of us has stolen your cup, then the one who took the cup, you put him to death, and the rest of us will be your servants here in Egypt. And so they began to search. And they started with the eldest. And then they went to the next one, and the next one. And finally, they come to Benjamin. And when they opened up Benjamin's bag, there was the silver cup of Joseph. If these men were still evil men, here's the point. If these men have not truly been changed by the power of God in their hearts, as one commentator well said, here's what he said, their envious hearts would be secretly glad at his misfortune. And with vindictive passiveness, they would let Benjamin be taken into slavery in Egypt, just as they let Joseph go to Egypt to slavery. If these men have not changed, then history will repeat itself. History will repeat itself. And so we see then the return. The transformation in the hearts of Joseph's brothers was made clearly evident in that instead of deserting their younger brother, instead of deserting him during this time of danger, the Bible says in verse number 13, they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass, and they returned to the city. The Bible doesn't tell us this, but I cannot help but think that at this time Joseph was somewhat like the father of the prodigal son that you read about in Luke chapter 15 and verse 20. In other words, as Joseph is waiting for the return of his steward and the return of his brothers, he's watching. He's looking down the road. He wants to see from a long way off what has happened, what has transpired. And I cannot help but think that his heart must certainly have rejoiced to see that his brothers were proving themselves to be true men. They were sticking with their... They weren't throwing their younger brother, as the old saying goes, they weren't throwing him under the bus. But they're standing by him now. They're standing by him because their lives have been changed by the power of God. The question I want to close with this morning is simply this. Has your life ever been changed by God's power? Has your life ever been transformed by the mighty power of God? You see, the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ... That means any man who has truly put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have turned from their sin, they have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Lord and to be their Savior. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Now you may claim to be a Christian. You may even be a member of Heritage Baptist Church, but I want to say to you this morning, if there has never been an evidence of a change in your heart, if there's never been the evidence of a change in your life, if you are still comfortable to walk in the ways of wickedness and sin and it doesn't bother you, then you really need to seriously check and make sure that you're really born again. Because if any man's in Christ, there is going to be a change. Just as surely as God worked in the lives of the brothers of Joseph and totally changed them, God will change you too. God will change you too. May God help that to be so. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for